supporting my local church faithfully. And again, as I look out this morning, part of it is, I think, is coming to church often and all. So, but it's still good to just get reinforced in why we do church. Amen. And hang together and let love lift us up. So it's on page 51 in your workbook. And the text is out of 1 Timothy 3:15. So if you'd stand with me, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word, we'll read that. It's a short one, and we'll pray and dive into the lesson. 1 Timothy 3:15. It's interesting, too. You'll notice that this is the verse the pastor laid out for the vision of the church this year. So I just love how God works those things out and intertwines. Since it's a short verse, I can keep you standing here a little bit, get the blood circulating. Anyway, 3:15. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how they oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so we're talking this year about the pillars of the church and the church being a pillar. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much, especially for our local church. Look, God, we see in Scripture that it's your instrument for reaching our world and to lift each other up with your love. So we thank you for that. Just help us to cement in our heart the importance of being involved in the local church personally and for our families. Lord, that you would just strengthen our faithfulness in doing that, and that we would just continue the desire to grow in you and to serve you through the local church. So we ask a blessing on this time. Help me to get out of the way, Lord, and just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So your overview there says, just as you can exist for a while on junk food or with a little sleep, even so, a person can be saved and go to heaven without being a part of a local church. You know, and we run into people like that when we go out door knocking or seeing people or maybe friends, you know, that are saved, but, you know, they just maybe had some issues with church. A lot of times we'll ask them when we're out there, oh, did you have some trouble? Because troubles come with local churches, unfortunately. It continues to say, yet just as a lack of nourishment and sleep would adversely affect your health and eventually destroy you, so will your spiritual life suffer if you don't plant yourself firmly in a local Bible-believing body of believers. Until you become grounded in a strong church, you will severely limit God working through you, and living for Christ will be much more laborious and frustrating. And I think, in my experience, I've certainly seen that with people that don't get involved and stay involved with the local church. They might be Christians, you know, and we're not to question that, but you don't see a lot of fruit often. Not that they couldn't do it and, you know, serve in the community or whatever, but it's just in the experience you don't see that a whole lot. It's usually being involved in church that encourages us to get out there and do those things for God like we would want. So the other thing we run into out there, that some people view the Christian faith as a crutch. Think, well, I don't need that. That's just a crutch you guys use, you know. And my own brothers kind of shared similar thoughts like that, you know. And that's how they view it. And it's just merely some sort of emotional or psychological support structure for weak-minded people. You know, and I'm sure all of us here don't think of ourselves as being weak-minded, amen? In fact, a lot of times you have to be stronger-minded, I think, than the weak-minded idiots that think that. Because nothing could be further from the truth. And this way of thinking ignores some very important facts. First of all, these very people usually have their own personal vices that are truly our physical or emotional dependencies. They might use alcohol, pornography, sports, a few friends at the tavern or the book club. You know, they have these support things they view. Anyway, they just don't think church is an important one. But almost everyone has some kind of support system to help them get through life, you know, at least in their mind or in the efforts. But sadly, these other dependencies give the immediate sensation of relief and the ability to cope and to escape from life's pressures. But at the same time, they are destructive. It is a deceptive sort of pseudo-support. You know, some of those things can backfire pretty quickly, we get involved with, you know. Think especially of your buddies at the tavern, you know, or something like that. That can turn negative pretty quickly, obviously. And I've heard of all kinds of book clubs or, you know, and things like that, the same type of thing. Second, and I got to throw in, it's not in here, but even some Bible studies, you know, you might have let's have a Bible study on the block. And if it's not correctly done or led, you know, who knows what kind of sideways path you can get on. So you just need to be real careful with that kind of thing. This rationale misses the fact that God didn't create us as independent beings in any way. For instance, even as you read this book, you are dependent upon a fresh breath of oxygen every few seconds. And if you fail to receive one, reading would quickly become your last priority. And I thought about, that's one of those reflexes we don't think about, breathing and getting fresh air in, you know, until we hit some pollution or the smoke, and then all of a sudden breathing becomes more important. And that's what this is saying, that, you know, it's just so easy to get distracted on some things that should be natural. And being in church should be one. Today, you'll also be dependent upon food, water, rest, and physical strength. In much the same way, God has created you and me to be interdependent beings. We are to be linked together and dependent on one another. let's see. God, like fresh air to our lungs and fresh water to our thirst, God has a spiritual and relational support structure upon which every man should rely for spiritual health and growth. You know, we should take advantage of these support structures, especially in his local church. That helps us to grow and to mature and to learn and just do all those different things. we want to be dependent upon God and upon other healthy relationships in life. You know, the more healthy relationships we have, it's just better for us. And, you know, everybody can agree with that. A lot of us have had unhealthy relationships, and it's just not good for us. You know, so what you got to replace those or outnumber them, if you will, with healthy relationships. It's just better. So the first pick here is an appropriate one, is our local church. You know, it's just something that to bear up and hold up in prayer and be excited about. God's gift to us and his plan for us is for every born-again believer to be an integral part of a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching, local New Testament church. You know, and praise God, that's what we have here. You know, we're Bible-believing, we're local, and we preach the gospel. Not just any church will do. It must be a church that is patterned after God's biblical description. And, you know, again, we see that out there a lot. A lot of kind of what we'd call non-biblical churches. And, you know, they just don't either give the support or maybe even take us down the wrong road if we're not careful. So it's important to be selective in picking a church, even though it's important to be involved in one. As said in the overview, just as you can exist for a while on junk food or with a little sleep, even so, a person can be saved and go to heaven without being a part of the local church. Yet, just as a lack of nourishment and sleep or breathing the foul air would adversely affect your health and eventually destroy you, so will your spiritual life suffer if you don't plant yourself firmly in a local Bible-believing body of believers. Until you become grounded in a strong church, you will severely limit what God would do in and through you, and living for Christ will be much more laborious and frustrating. In addition to this, without a church, you will also limit what God would do in the lives of your family members. You know, what he does to us and how we interact and relate to our families and how they might grow and interact. You know, we have the chance to influence that through good local church fellowship. God ordained and established three primary institutions for our benefit and our blessing. The first is the home. The family is an essential and key part of our lives. They're in your book, Genesis 2, 21 through 24. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." So the first family coming together, you know, at God's design to have a family and to have especially a wife in that instance. Second, God established human government for our protection and well-being, for a safe and healthy environment for our homes. In your book there, Romans 1:13-11, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And, you know, I've actually found that verse helpful in the past. You know, sometimes we don't agree with our government, amen? But it is, you know, even the bad countries, they tend to be there for protection and to give some sense of safety so people can operate or do whatever, even if they're real controlling, you know. But again, God allows all that, and that's the important thing. You know, God really is the ultimate one in power. He raises up kingdoms and destroys them, says the Bible. So, but it's a thing that God established was the human government. Then finally, God established and ordained the local New Testament church for our growth, spiritual health, and usefulness in his divine program. In your workbook, Matthew 16:18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Wow. Praise God. You know, with all this stuff going on, that's what God has given us. His church built upon him, the rock. The rock. Tragically, as we've talked, all three of these institutions in many cases have gone awry from God's plan and pattern. They're all under attack. They're all, on the down slope, if you might say. You know, things are crumbling all around us. We've seen it in families for years. We see it in the government, especially foreign governments and even our own with all the stuff going on. And sadly, you see it a lot in the church. You know, the church that professed to follow Jesus and the Lord, and it's just, we're just under attack. Satan is alive and well and attacking all three of those things. But that does not preclude our support and involvement in these institutions. Amen? That doesn't mean we should give up on it all. We want to be involved and do what we can to be the best we can. Here's a great picture here. Reminded me of the trip Kathy and I were just on in San Diego, and you can make that out there. I went into a restaurant, and this babe was sitting there at a table or eating with me. And I don't know if you noticed, but right over her right shoulder there was a parrot. And I said, this story I'm about reminded me that of this parrot. Here's the story. Dr. M.R. DeHaan told the story of a local church congregation that bought an old tavern they wanted to convert into a church building. Enthusiastically, they removed the bar, put in some new lights, installed pews, put in new carpet, and refurbished the entire building. The old tavern keeper, however, had left behind his old parrot that had lived in the tavern for years. The wise old bird was perched high above in the rafter. On the first Sunday morning, the pastor walked in and the parrot exclaimed, "New proprietor! New proprietor!" The robed choir took their place, and the old bird squawked, "New floor show! New floor show!" Then the parrot looked out at the congregation and said, "Same old crowd! Same old crowd!" And unfortunately, I can see you can all relate to that, you know, And actually, I mean, I thought about it, that's one of the things that kind of kept me out of church for so long. I went to one of the mainline churches, and, you know, people, start drinking sometimes before they hit the door. I didn't really see much appeal in that, on finally went to a church where the people tried to live like was being preached, and I thought, that made a real impact on me. It was in the little town of Colfax, you know, but I thought, wow, you know, maybe there is something to this. People really do want to practice what they preach, if you will. Because nothing kills it quicker in some people's desire than seeing the hypocrisy out there. So, anyway, and there's certainly humor in that story, but tragically, many churches today would fit that tale. I'm sad to say that's true. The local New Testament church is to be an assembly of born-again and scripturally baptized believers. These members are to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. They're in your book, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the Word of God renews us in the renewing of our mind and what we do. We are to be saved, separated unto God, and faithfully serving our Lord and his local church, exercising our spiritual gifts by standing behind our pastor, the leadership, and faithfully supporting the work of Christ with our tithes and offerings. And this, I found this next part really interesting, kind of a history of the church, if you will. It says, the local church and the worship of the Lord on Sunday has lost much ground over the years. Our great-grandfathers called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandfathers called it the Sabbath day. Then our fathers called it Sunday, the Lord's day. And today we call it the weekend. You know, and some of the our family members just call it the hiking day. You know, and it's just so true how it's just kind of lost that holiness and just progressed into it's just a weekend. It's a day off. And it's unfortunate. It said, may God help us to order our steps as Christians in a way that reverences his day and loves his church. Your life and family will never be the same if you will allow God to bless and grow you within a local body of Christians. And I know many of us here can attest to that. It just makes a difference in our lives and in our family lives being involved in a good local church. As we focus on the local church in this lesson, we'll develop a simple acrostic for the word church to help us better understand the purpose of the local church. Let's observe the following truths about the kind of local church you should, and I would say that we do attend, all right? So, number one, Roman numeral one, Christ, the head. So, the C in church is for Christ, the head. Scripture is clear that no human is the head of the church. Christ is. There in your book, Ephesians 1, 22 and 3, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So he is the head of the church. And then Christ purchased the church with his own blood. Thus all we do in it should be to honor him. Everything we do, we want to bring him honor, because he's the head. Acts 20, 28 in your book. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And 1 Timothy 3:15 again. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So it just really emphasizes whose church it is. It's his church, and that's what we want to serve him through the church. While Christ is the chief shepherd, he has placed pastors as under-shepherds in the local church. Their role is to follow the leadership of Christ as they lead the church. In your book, 1 Peter 5, 2-4, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Wow. In other words, we're doing it for him, not for the money, and not for any, not because they're making us, although they're kind of making me. So that's not sure. All right. Just as a body without the head is dead, so a church without Christ is dead. Yet some churches operate not as a living organism with Christ as the head, but as a human-led organization with members' preferences dictating its direction. You know, it's kind of like putting the hens in charge of the hen house, right? You know, you just got to be careful with who's running the show. We want the Lord to run the show. It was to such a church that Christ asked for admittance to even come inside. It's on your book there, but you're familiar with Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, it's interesting. Now, obviously, he could bust his way in if he wanted, but what? He's out there saying, you know, let me in. But we have to open the door to him. We have to let him in to the church, especially into the church. We can keep that door shut or even almost push him out and lock the door behind him sometimes. Pretty sad. Many churches across America are dead because they have not allowed Christ to be the head of the church. A living church has Christ as its head. So, number two, the H is for Holy Spirit, the power. Holy Spirit, the power. The great quality of the church in the book of Acts was that it continually demonstrated unique power. In your book, Acts 4, verses 31 through 33, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Wow. The Holy Ghost just brought them all together and gave them the same heart for people. And, his grace was resting on them. This was a great band of believers because of the indwelling, control, and power of the Holy Spirit upon the church. In these three verses, this church is described as being filled, bold, unified, empowered with great power and great grace. A lot of good things in those few verses. The dynamic of the New Testament church was, and still is, the overwhelming, transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit when he left to watch over us and to guide us and to help us grow and empower and on and on. Ephesians 5:18 in your book, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We've talked about that in previous classes. Acts 4:13 states that the religious leaders marveled and noted that the apostles had been with Jesus. These ignorant, unlearned men were accused of turning the world upside down. They had the power of the Spirit in their lives. It's interesting. I've got it on good authority that Josh's next series is going to be exactly on this, turning the world upside down. Again, I love how this kind of fits all together. He's intending, at least at this point, to preach on Acts and the New Testament church. And part of it is turning the world upside down, because they really did. They just changed, And today we see what people say are up, we know is down. Or what they say is down, we know is up. And, you know, they try to do it. But the church brought the truth to light and is right side up. So there in your workbook, Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wow. What a legacy to see, I know you. You go to that Spokane Baptist Church, or, you walk with Jesus. Praise God. That's what we want to be known as. One of the greatest untapped resources for the local church is the readily available dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. You ready with that video up there? I found this as I was looking, and hopefully we can get it going this week. All right. As it plays here, that it suggested that maybe Niagara Falls, and I thought, we've got Spokane Falls, so this is our own city here. And I just love going down to the falls. One of my favorite things in nature are waterfalls, especially this time of year. I don't know if you've been down there recently or this time of year. But you'll see, you just get in awe of the power that the waterfalls present. Even little Spokane and the Spokane River, you know, it's just so impressive to see that all that water and you marvel. Amen. It's kind of like, wow, how can something like that provide so much power and be so beautiful to look at? And so I just really enjoy these pictures. And it just gives you a sense, you know, and you can see why people like nature, amen, because it's beautiful and all that. But today, we have at our disposal great power in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, yet we feebly stumble along through life, powerless, defeated, and discouraged because we're not yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can get excited about the great power of the Spokane River. How much more do we have access to when you think the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, just kind of incredible. You know, it doesn't even compare to the glories that God has for us. In Acts 1:8 says, it's not in your book, but it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Wow. You know, and we have access to that kind of power. So can you imagine the dimension and dynamic of power available to you and to the church? We should dare not waste his power. Shouldn't waste his. You know, they build dams and these waterfalls to harness power. Amen? That's what we should be doing with our lives. It's harnessing the power he's got for us. Number three is that you is unsaved, the mission of the church. From the very beginning of the church and throughout all the book of Acts, the mission of the church is to reach the unsaved world and the gospel with the gospel of Christ Jesus himself. He himself gave us the marching orders, Acts 1:8, there in your book. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified." That is the Great Commission, and it's given that we should be out there preaching it, using the Holy Spirit's power. Not our own power. He's given us the power. In the first century church, Christians didn't merely meet in some secluded room to seek for a deeper life. You know, you hear that, well, we get together and we talk about all this great stuff. Or, you know, I go out and commune with nature. And, you know, I get my spiritual awakening when I walk in the woods. That's all good stuff, but it's not what God intends for us. That's not where we should be getting our spiritual experience from. Tragically today, most churches have lost their mission. Many churches have become nothing more than social gatherings designed to entertain and to please people. They didn't gather with a large crowd for a rock concert and a late-night talk show environment. You know, they came together to do some serious business, you know, to have fun. Nothing wrong with having fun and enjoying it, but there needs to be a purpose behind it and not just solely to be entertained. It's estimated that 98% of all Christians will never lead another soul to Christ. 98%, pretty incredible. The great mission of evangelization and personal soul winning is non-existent in most Christians' lives. In spite of this, the heartbeat of the living God remains to see the gospel proclaimed over all of the planet Earth through the work of his local church. And he desires for you to be a part of that local church and the global work. And the next story has to do with this. You'll recognize that, I'm sure. The sinking of the Titanic as it was going down. And the story is told of a young man after 4 years of sinking of the Titanic stirred up at a church meeting to give this testimony. And he talks about this gentleman here is John Harper. He was a Scottish Baptist pastor. So, and the story will tell you a little bit about this part, but I had to Google and say, okay, who is this guy really? So yeah, he's a Scottish Baptist pastor. He's actually kind of a known hero from the Titanic. He was traveling with his daughter, that's there on his lap, young daughter, and when the ship wrecked, He woke her up, wrapped her in a blanket, handed her to the attendant of the lifeboat, and he and the traveling companion there got in the lifeboat. He stayed on board and went down with the ship. So quite the story. And here's more of the story. This is Paul Harvey's rest of the story. This young man stirred up at a church meeting to give this testimony. I am a survivor of the Titanic. When I was drifting alone on a spar that awful night, the tide brought Mr. John Harper of Glasgow, also on a piece of wreck near me. Man, he said, are you saved? I said, no, I said, I'm not. He replied, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The waves bore him away, but strange to say, they brought him back a little later. And he said, are you saved now? No, I said, I cannot honestly say that I am. He said again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And shortly after, he went down, and there alone in the night, with 2 miles of water under me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert. Wow. I mean, that's quite the story, you know. Thankfully, John Harper was focused, even in his last moments, on the great mission of the church. Because he witnessed for the Lord, another person was saved. Literally, with his dying breath, he wanted to share the gospel. Sorry. In the book of Acts, we see the description of a dynamic testimony of great evangelism and soul winning. The church multiplied greatly because the church had a mission to reach the unsaved. Everywhere they went, they talked to those around them about Christ. Every believer is a missionary, and every unbeliever is a mission field. Like that. You know, our mission could be right next door, the mission field that we need to witness to. And just a good time to remind you all of the water ministry, where we can get involved in one of the things here to help reach others and reach out and support each other and the work of God. So we need to get involved in the Great Commission. Number four is revelation. The R is revelation, which is the authority, the revelation of the Word. Everything we believe and practice must be supported by the Word of God, our final authority. In Acts 2, as Peter stood up to preach, he quoted from Psalm 16, 8 through 11. And as a result, 3,000 people were saved. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, in your book, 2 Timothy 4, 2, preach the word, be instant in season. And again from our text, 1 Timothy 3:15, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Many so-called churches today have multiple forms of authority, from traditions, church leaders, to various books and religious writings. The only authority for a local church should be the Word of God. You know, if we ever stand up and say, you know, here's my new book, you got to follow what I say, run. You know, it's just one of those things. Thank God for His precious Word, which He has given to us. He's preserved for our edification. The centerpieces of our pulpits is to be Bible preaching, and the centerpiece of the local church life should be learning and living out the Word. Amen. So the next C in church is for Christians, the body. The body. How am I doing? Okay. The body is the called out assembly of that are saved. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 in your workbook. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, he fills us up. It's his church. He fills us, and we're all under his feet. Praise God. No place better to be. No place better to be. Acts 2, 42 and 47 describes what happened in the lives of those who were saved. There in your book. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So praise God. You know, and we try to do, you know, it's an important part, as you all know, to break bread together and fellowship together. And what do we see? We see people being added. you know, literally daily. You know, every Sunday we have guests and people that stay and join in. And it's just the biblical model, you know, and that's why we strive to do that and to break bread with people. The church is a family, a body. We are many members, but we are one body where encouragement, unity, service, and fellowship should be the norm. That should be the norm. And praise God, I like to think that is here. That's the normal thing. Ephesians 4:15 and 16 in your book. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by what that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So around the truth, we just keep getting stronger and better and growing and doing more. It's just naturally. Just as a physical body has to overcompensate when one of its members is missing, so a spiritual body, the local church, has to overcompensate when you are missing, either in attendance or in service. You know, and we see, you know, that one of our teachers gets sick, somebody has to cover it, right? And then, you know, so we all have a part to play, and we do react when things happen, you know, out of control. But totally within our control, we ought to be involved and do what we're being called to do in the local church. And final, H is heaven, the hope. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our destination is heaven. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah to that? Our destination is heaven. That's where we're going. How exciting. We are a heavenly people, and our churches should reflect a close-knit spirit of looking for that blessed hope, of being in the presence of the Lord, either through death or through the rapture. Our focus should be on the eternal. And if we keep our focus there and we know we're going to heaven, you know, that's talked about before, joy. You know, we can have joy no matter what we're going through because our focus is on heaven and being with him. Wow, that's just exciting. 2 Corinthians 5:8 in your book. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. You know, kind of went through that, you know, with the heart issues and everything. You know, hey, go ahead and take me out, Lord. You know, the family wouldn't let me do that, but I was okay with it. And you never know until you're in that situation, but I tell you, getting close was kind of exciting, you know, and not in a bad way, at least for me. I mean, I understand all the other ramifications, but that's the attitude we should have. If we're just so confident of where we're going, you know, how great is that? How it just gives you joy no matter what you're going through. Titus 2:13 in your book, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Yeah. That it truly is just a blessed hope. To have that hope is a blessing. And we should feel blessed by that because it just makes everything else not seem so quite as important. And all the little turmoils and stuff, or even big turmoils and trials, you know, we can get through them because we have that blessed hope. Our hearts should strive together for the faith, to encourage, uplift, and press on together. We need to keep each other uplifted and marching forward with the hope. Philippians 1:27, there in your workbook. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So Paul's telling the church, you know, I'm going to try to come, hope to spend time, but if I'm not, you guys just keep going. Just keep doing it anyway. You know, God willing and God providing and the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, the church can survive anything and any loss, and we're going to be just fine no matter what happens. You know, when they locked Pastor Josh up for this latest series of preaching, you know, somehow we'll survive that And that's just, because God, it's God's church, and he's going to keep it going. We should strive to resolve problems and press upward for Christ together. That Christian you tend to fight and bicker with may be assigned to sit with you at the marriage supper. You know, sometimes the family dinner, you get seated to the one you're fighting. It always seems to work that way, doesn't it? Uh-oh. Got to be nice. Well, it'd be better to be nice beforehand, you know, so you don't mind sitting next to them, especially at the marriage supper of the Lamb. So read about that marvelous place God is preparing for us in Revelation 21 and 22. Won't go into it there, but yeah, it's, you know, heaven is a wonderful place. We sing that song, you know, it's great. 1 Corinthians 2:9 in your book, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Wow. You know, we read those words and we think, oh, that's going to be cool, that's great. But we have no idea. We really can't even conceive exactly how wonderful it's really going to be. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. It's going to be exciting. The next stop for the church is heaven. Jesus is coming again, and we're going to him. Amen. So, in conclusion, again, the church. It cannot be emphasized enough that the value and the importance of your faithfulness to your local church. If you will allow the Lord to order your steps, if you will become a godly person, it will involve growing and ministering faithfully in a local church. This commitment is essential. It is God's plan for building your life, your family, and your future. Will you make this commitment? Will you join the long line of godly Christians through the centuries who have fully embraced God's plan? You found a Bible-believing church here, Spokane. Plant yourself and your family here. Make a covenant with God that as long as he gives you breath, you will have a church and a pastor. You know, something should happen here if we have another fire. You know, we need to find a church and a pastor and stay involved. You know, many of us, probably all of us, obviously, at some point have changed churches. And that's okay. But you want to get to another Bible-believing, gospel-preaching one. You know, just not the one that's next door. Hopefully it's next door, but all right. Make a covenant with God that as long as he gives you breath, you'll have a church and a pastor. You'll have a place where you strive together with a family of believers for the faith of Christ. And a quick announcement, we're a little early. Next week, I've got special treat, is when we'll be splitting. I'll be talking to the men, the women will go off, and my lovely bride will have a message for the ladies. Oh, and I was supposed to, it's on... help me, dear. Femininity. Biblical femininity. So, very important. And she'll talk about cultural femininity. But what's a biblical femininity part? And as from our part, we'll talk about men being real men. And not just with tools and or lawn chairs. So, anyway. So look forward to that next week. You know, again, we'll get into two groups, and I want to sit on in Kathy's class, actually, but that, you know, that's just my feminine side, I guess. No. Anyway, let's continue to strive together, and looking forward to doing that with all of you and those at live stream that couldn't be here. You know, it's going to be just an exciting journey we're on. It's going to be an exciting year, goodness sakes, and, you know, I have a blessed hope that, you know, Jesus comes back and gets us November 1st. Won't even have to worry about casting a vote. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you so much for the local church. Lord, I specifically thank you for our local church and giving us a pastor with vision and a heart to serve you and preach the word and preach the gospel. And Lord, that... we do keep our mission out there to reach the lost, Lord, and that we want to strive to do that and keep the main thing, even as we continue to grow and to learn and encourage one another. What a wonderful opportunity to do that only really in the local church, where we can just become close family and know each other's ins and outs and idiosyncrasies and the foibles we all have, but Lord, we can love each other through that, bear each other's burdens, and Lord, that then and then give them over to you in prayer, Lord, that you are the great burden bearer. Thank you so much, God, for what you're doing here and what you've done in my life through the church and in other lives through your church, but all with the power of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful blessing that is. Thank you for that, and thank you again for the blessed hope of joining you someday soon. We ask a blessing on our time together and the little time of fellowship to follow. Pray for the main service to come as the pastor continues delivering your word to us, Lord, on Isaac and just the truth of your word in the Bible. Thank you for all that and what you're doing. In Jesus' precious, wonderful, and glorious name, amen. 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 Dismissed.